Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open our eyes this morning that we may see wonderful things in your law. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I thank Mike for mentioning last year's sermon, so it seems to have been a bit memorable. I was going to mention it, actually, because it was meant last year as a... I sort of feel if I'm preaching on 31st December or something, it should be a word of encouragement for the year ahead. And last year was meant to be that encouragement, and Mike's just mentioned it, to have hearts of gladness and joy and pray for Christian work to do for as many days as the Lord gives us. And so today I was thinking I need a word of encouragement for us all for 2024. I think we need encouragement. We live in a world which is often, well, at the moment it's midwinter, we've had an awful lot of rain, that's pretty gloomy, but it's a bit of a sad and sorrowful world at the moment. We've got great sort of social divisions, we've got wars, we sort of wonder where mankind is going. There's a sort of continuous struggle of life. Anyway, you know, to get food on the table and keep your houses in working order. And so there are reasons for encouragement, I think. And it's easy, I think, for us as Christians to be a bit downhearted. Sometimes we think, is God there? Does he care? Is he hearing our prayers? And I actually want to speak this morning from Isaiah 35. Mainly, I know the service sheet says Mark, but I'll come to that at the end. In this passage, there is this encouragement for God's people to strengthen their feeble hands and weak knees and fearful hearts. And the Israelites in those days had good reasons to be gloomy and sorrowful as well. I mean, they were surrounded by enemies, they were idolatrous society, and they had Isaiah the prophet actually prophesying sort of God's vengeance coming and exile in the future, so that there was a lot to sort of put you down, if you like. And yet here we have in the midst of it all this extraordinary chapter of rejuvenation, of transformation, of miracles, quite frankly. And the title for this sermon is The Message of Miracles. So we'll be looking and seeing what messages the miracles are giving us. So really, if you have your service sheet and at home, if you have a Bible open, Isaiah 35, it would be good to just keep an eye on that. So I want to have sort of three headings. The first is the message of God, the Creator. The second is the message of Jesus, the Savior. And the third is the message of the Christian, the highway walker. So we start off with God the Creator. And if you look at this first paragraph, the desert and the parched land will be glad, the wilderness will rejoice and blossom, it will burst into bloom, rejoice greatly, shout for joy, the glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel, which was a land of gardens. Lebanon was known to be God's country. And Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord and the splendor of our God. So we have this sort of personified desert, which sort of blossoms exuberantly, the wilderness blossoming, blooming, rejoicing, and the glory of God being displayed through his creation, like Carmel, the land of gardens. Water and streams in the wilderness, in verse 6 it says, and grass and papyrus and reeds growing where jackals once lay, and it was once a desert and a wilderness. So here is a miracle, which is actually just stating quite categorically, God is the creator of all things. He is the maker of all things. He can transform things miraculously. And this is now being told to God's people in the future tense. It will happen. And so he says in the next paragraph, which is really, I think, a message for all of God's people at all times, Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. So here you have this, this encouragement. The desert is going to blossom. You will see the glory of God. So strengthen your feeble hands, steady your weak knees. Keep your eyes on the future. Listen to God's word. He is there, he does care. And so don't fear, don't have anxious hearts. Trust him, your God will come. And he will come with divine retribution, and he will come to save you and make you rejoice and blossom like the desert. And so we rejoice because he is going to come, as I say, with divine vengeance and retribution to save us. And I think God's people in the Old Testament, obviously, they don't have the cross to look back to. We know that actually Jesus came in fulfillment of this prophecy. But they themselves were looking forward, and therefore, in a way, their faith needed to be encouraged the whole time. And I think Mike preached a sermon recently on Simeon. He was a classic Old Testament Christian, you could say. When he saw the baby in his arms, he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. There were the faithful people of God in the Old Testament looking forward to their salvation, not knowing quite how it was going to be shown to the world, but the Spirit moved him to recognize that this baby was the Savior. And so we have the second heading, which is Jesus the Savior. And he will come with divine vengeance and retribution to save us. And so we look back to Jesus. And you sort of hesitate a bit with saying divine retribution and vengeance. But actually, there's so many prophecies, all the prophecies in Isaiah, and there are lots of them, Jesus fulfilled every one. And there is the great prophecy in Isaiah 40, where the speaker is told to go up on a high mountain and declare to the cities of Judah, behold your God. And that was the job of John the Baptist, how John the Baptist fulfilled his role. And when he was baptizing for the repentance of sins, Jesus came and he said, behold your God. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So here he was coming to save us, which who would have had a clue as to what that meant? It surely would have meant save you from the Romans, you know, God's people protect them. But here he was coming to save us. What from? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. It was a Passover lamb, the sacrificial lamb, whose blood and body would wash us clean of our sins and renew us as a new birth into the kingdom of God, into God's family. So Jesus comes fulfilling all these prophecies. And of course, when he comes, miracles surround him. So again, you've got this witness, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking, the paralyzed man gets up, picks up his bed and walks, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. The lepers are cleansed, the storms are calmed, the hungry are fed, demons are cast out, the dead are raised. And when the storms are cast out, one of the storms was with the disciples in the boat. And they said, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? So here you have the Son of God, the Creator, through whom all things were made. Here he is displaying, confirming that he is the fulfillment of the prophecy that came from Isaiah chapter 35, which we're looking at today. I mean, it's a wonderful picture of this cloud of miracles around Jesus as he went through his ministry. And of course, finally, he says to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" They say, "Well, they say you're a prophet. They say you're Elijah, come back." And he says, "Well, who do you say that I am now that you've seen me?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he tells him to be quiet because he's now going to do the act of salvation, which is walk to Jerusalem and to offer himself up as the sacrificial lamb on the cross at the Passover time. So the last, in fact, miracle he does before Jerusalem is the raising of Lazarus. And it's to show the glory of God, that God can raise the dead. 4 days in the tomb, he orders Lazarus out of the tomb and he comes all bandaged up. But this, Jesus says, this was to show the glory of the Father. And then he goes and he himself gets put in a tomb. So all these miracles are surrounding him. The Creator at work, making whole his creation. But these were all sort of physical miracles, weren't they? But the big miracle that was going on, the big miracle of the cross, is making mankind whole. It's making mankind blossom as it should do. That's the miracle of the cross, the transforming power which of grace and love and peace that flows from the cross and the resurrection, that actually changes people's hearts and minds and lives. So there's this much deeper work of creation as we start to behold our God through Jesus Christ and his cross. We become newborn people. As Jesus says to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus doesn't understand it. And he repeats it, "You must be born again." You become a new person. You have the Spirit of God within you. Jesus says, "Unless you come to me like a little child, you have a new spirit within you, a spirit which is transformative." And so we have new sight, we have new hearing, we have new speaking, new paths of life to walk in. When I became a Christian in 1979, similar to a time when Mike became a Christian, I mean, one of the first things that happened to me, I stopped swearing. I used to swear and I used to blaspheme. And I thought, well, why do I do that? And I just stopped. That was the first little thing, because might call it a big thing, but it's a little thing, really. And since then, in over 40 years I've been a Christian, the transformation of keeping your eyes on Jesus, of walking in his way, just slowly the old bits fall off and the new life builds up. It's all about relationships. Mike summed up this morning the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. We are relational, and the important relationship is there. And then we find all the relationships here are much better. And that's this transforming miracle that comes through the grace, through the cross of Christ. So all our senses, in a way, are reborn when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And Jesus does say in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So it brings me to the last bit, that the Christian, after God the Creator and Jesus the Savior, we come to the Christian, the highway walker. And there's this wonderful bit at the end of Isaiah 35. I just love this paragraph. "And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and those that the Lord has ransomed. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will fade away." So the Christian is the highway walker. there is this highway of holiness which leads you to the Lord. And it is that highway of transformation. And the interesting thing is, it says, only the redeemed and the ransomed will be on it. It can only be Christians who are on that highway, because they are the only people looking at Jesus. They are the only people looking at the cross. They are the only people who know they've been ransomed and redeemed. The payment has been made for their sins in front of God's judgment and to free us. So it can only be Christians on this highway of holiness. And your Hebrews says, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on heaven as you daily walk through life. And so my encouragement really this year is, as this chapter says, you know, don't be downhearted. Don't have feeble hands and anxious hearts. Remember God's word. We are his people. He has saved us. We are walking along that road of holiness. So what do we do as Christians to keep going in the coming year? Let's keep meeting together, encourage each other. Let's keep praying every day for each other, but praying for our walk daily. And let's keep reading his word. Open my eyes, that prayer at the beginning, that I may behold wonderful things in your law. The word of God has treasures which will be forever coming out. They're endless to those who study his word and read his word. So that's my word of encouragement to you this year. But I just really want to finish with blind Bartimaeus. I think he's a terrific character. He's one of my favorite people in the New Testament. I just love him, the fact that he's sitting there by the wayside and he's blind and he's a beggar and there's this vast crowd going by and he hears it's Jesus and everybody's heard of Jesus. He's the man of the moment. Everybody's big crowds following him along to Jerusalem. But he knows in his heart that this is his only hope. Jesus is his only hope. So he cries out, Jesus, son of David. Well, the son of David is itself a title of David's king to come. You know, have mercy on me. And I love it. They say, no, quieten down, old boy. You know, just be quiet. Don't stop making so much noise. You know, he's very busy. He's got lots of people around him. And he shouts even louder, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus says, call him. And I love that little exchange, which often happens with Jesus. He will ask a question, even though it's obvious what Bartimaeus wants him to do. Jesus still establishes what's going on in here. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, I want to see. And he says, go, your faith has made you whole. And what does it say then? He got up and he followed him along the way. And that's what John Newton, the slave trader, Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I see. And that's the position of the Christian. You know, we now see, we're now hearing, we're now talking, we're now walking along a path, you know, guided by our Savior who's given us new birth. So my encouragement is, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep praying, keep meeting together, keep reading the Word of God. And what I would say to those who aren't sure about faith, who don't think they've really understood what I've been saying, be like Bartimaeus. I once knew a young man who actually came to a Bible study with me, and after the Bible study, he said, oh, well, Michael, I really just don't get it, you know, and I just, you know. And he had been to a couple, and I'd been talking to him, and I just said, I got very frustrated, and I just said, well, just try it, just pray. And just to finish that story, he did pray. He became a Christian, and he was actually living with his girlfriend at that time. They were both at university, or I think he'd just left. And he wrote to her and said, I've become a Christian, and I think we should stop living together, and would you marry me, sort of thing. And what, you know, the funny thing that happened? As his letter went off, he received a letter from her. She was at university in Cardiff. And she said to him, I've just become a Christian, and I think we should stop living together. So I'm just telling you that story. Prayers are answered. So if you're not, if you can't see yet, pray, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things in your law. Lord, I want to see. So let me close in prayer now. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the truth. And we pray, Lord, as we come into this new year, for each one of us, you would help us to see you, to walk with you, to hear you, and to be your people of light and salt. And so, Lord, we thank you for this year that's gone past, and we just commit our walk with you in the year ahead. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.